This is Meet the Millennials.
What's up, guys? This is your boy, Andre Spence, the Purpose Coach.
What's up, people? This is ICOHA, One Hit Away.
My name's Cecilia Owosa, lifestyle, beauty, and straight talking videos.
I'm Deborah Chosen, and you're now listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice of the Christian Millennials.
Welcome to Meet the Millennials, the voice of the Christian Millennial, a podcast that discusses our millennial matters from a Christian perspective with me, Elena Boateng.
Me, Esther OG.
And our special guest presenter,
Faith Child.
Yes! Each week we host our friends and influencers in the Premier Gospel Studio to talk about faith, love, trends, the highs and lows of life. Today our guest is none other than IC.
OHA, One Hit Away.
Hey! So IC, you are a rapper, you're inspiring a generation.
Amen.
We love your music because it's positive, it's insightful. You've got a mixtape pending.
Yes, MOC.
Yes. What should we expect?
My best work ever.
Hey!
Everyone says it's their best work ever. What have you been through in the last 12 months that makes it your best work ever?
All right.
I feel that's a good way to throw it in because people just want to say stuff. So let's.
It's my best work ever because I went through my darkest moment ever.
Oh.
See?
Oh.
There you go. So now
you're
going to
leave it on a cliffhanger like that.
Uh huh. And then you listen to the project.
That's interesting. When's it going to be available?
When I finish it.
Good. Great. Great timing. So you're a married man.
Indeed.
And you're a cutie as well. I saw on your Instagram that you're a cutie. Like,
oh.
You're nice. You're like, oh.
Oh, right, okay. Jeez, okay.
I'm not trying to move to you. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Hey, John.
No.
You're a married man.
Same breath. Everyone needs to relax. Can we just relax? No, because on Valentine's Day, I saw that you did a really cute thing for your missus.
So romantic.
No, you're cute.
Okay, cool. I'll take it.
You can't remember what you did. Okay, so it wasn't that meaningful.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
Post-its all around the house.
Yeah.
And you told her that she was beautiful.
Yeah.
And you appreciate the time when she picked your siblings up from somewhere.
Yeah.
And all these things. You're cute.
I rate that as well. Man to man, I rate that stuff.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right, creator of the Sit Down. Mm. Tell us a bit about that concept.
So the Sit Down is a live Q&A event where we get people from different walks of life, whether it's in music, business, sports, and we sit down and we get to the real. All right. So social media is very good at creating a construct of reality. So we get behind that and find out who are the people behind these roles, behind all these businesses, etc.
Amazing. So I would say that your Instagram basically celebrates the black male.
Okay.
So why are you using your platform to do that?
Do you know what? I feel sometimes black men get a bad rap. Due to things that they've done, but also sometimes just misconceptions. And I think if I can use my platform to dispel those misconceptions, mm-hmm. to give the lowdown in a sense on what it is and why we might do what we do, I think it can help people understand better. Once you understand something, you can approach it in a much better way because you understand it better. So I always try and use my platform to shine light on men and what we go through, man. It's
amazing.
Not easy.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate what you do, and it's a pleasure to have you today.
Thank
because
you.
We
no,
are
thank
talking
you for
about
inviting me.
Manhood. So in the age of changing gender norms and Beyonce feminism, you know, what does it mean to be a man in 2018? We're really seeing the conversation evolve from like, should men cry? Are you a man if you're a stay-at-home dad? To, you know, I'm hearing people ask, can a man wear a lace front wig, you know?
A man's hair.
Yo.
There's three decisions a man has to make. The most important one,
mm-hmm.
giving your life to God,
mm.
your spouse, mm. and your barber.
Imagine. Trust me.
You don't play with the hairline. If the hairline is going back and there's an opportunity to bring it forward,
yeah.
my G, you better
do
take
what
that.
You do.
Do what you got.
I travel from Stevenage to go to my barber. My barber's in Kilburn.
Oh.
Wow.
Loyalty. Well, you know, you guys can continue to educate us. Me and Esther are going to try our best not to talk too much. You guys can kind of take the lead on this conversation in explaining what manhood means to us. So let's jump straight into it. What shaped your perceptions of manhood growing up?
Funny thing, my dad was always in and out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So me seeing the effect it had on my siblings, made me want to be a man more,
mm.
and made me not want to repeat that pattern in my life. Luckily, I have an older brother, so he was like my father figure to me, but he never had an older brother. So when he's like out playing football, he was a top scorer. All the kids started cheering him on. My dad went there. And because we're Christians, we have to be at church on Sunday. So my mom couldn't go every week. So me seeing that now made me want to be a man more.
And when you say want to be a man more, what do you mean by that?
Be present in my children's life. Be married to one woman. Have all my children with one woman. Have that balance between mother and father in the household. At times when you have it just one directional and a one way, it's not that you're undeveloped, but mum or dad, because some people just dad in the kids, you don't really get that balance. Not that you miss out, but you need something, you need to have that balance.
I think for me, I've got my biological father and I've got my stepfather. So with my biological father, I learnt to fear him. I learnt fear, that's what I learned. I didn't know love. So I just knew a father figure is someone, you know, at arm's length. And then I went to move with my stepfather and I learned the total opposite. A man who will do the most craziest, funny things kind of thing, and would be so inquisitive about, okay, who's that rapper, intertwined into the children's lives, me and my siblings' lives. So it's nuts. I thank God because he didn't leave me stranded in the sense where I would just have that one experience from my biological father. Shout out to him at the same time. But then seeing my stepfather, I got to see, okay, this is what a man can bring to a home. This is someone who will do what he can to fix a situation and bring a solution. I learned that. I would see how he would treat my mum. Just very loving. If they're going out for an African wedding, for example, okay, look, take a picture of me and mum. Like constantly. So when you see me doing that on Instagram, that's where I got it. That's where I saw it from. And so it rubs off. So it's almost like I'm constantly feeding from two streams in terms of my masculinity.
How does like culture shape it? Like being a black man, being an African black man, do you feel like there's like stems to it that are like shaping your manhood?
I think so. I think there's silent pressures. In terms, especially with provision, that's a big thing. And this is not only in culture, it's in church, like unbeknownst that it's actually being pumped out in church of, you know, you're the head of the home. And that's cool. But what happens when I'm not? Am I still a man? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes I feel culture and something church sometimes, they add to this invisible pressure that you fall under the weight of. But you still have to put up a pretense. Yeah, I got everything covered. No, I haven't got everything covered. You know what? You know which way of the family moving? I don't know because I'm a human being. I just have this pressure over me that I have to perform and be. And I think culturally, especially with how men are seen, I'm the firstborn. I'm the oldest. So that on its own, it's just like, you know, you should, you know, you're the oldest. So you know, your brothers and da 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 are watching you. You're constantly being held on a pedestal when you're only just balancing on the pedestal. And I think sometimes we need to be able to let people know that, you know what, if you fall off that pedestal, there is a mattress at the bottom. Like there's a net underneath. So there's times I will need to jump off that pedestal to know that I'm still human and not crush under the weight. So I think they definitely fall, they bring that pressure from culture and church.
It's also down to the woman you're with. For example, my girlfriend, I know hands down, if I never had any money, like whether I didn't get any bookings or I got fired, whatever, she would never see me any less of a man. Also, Pressure J and his wife Zalika, he mentioned, I think, at some point, maybe towards the wedding, at some point, he was unemployed, something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe it was before engagement. And he said, at one point, did she make me feel less of a man?
Yeah.
It's down to the woman as well. Because if I'm with a woman, and let me just generalize, a high maintenance girl, and I'm saying generalize so you don't kill me. If I generalize, high maintenance girl, what do you mean you can't do this? What do you mean we can't go on a date, can't get money? Oh, allow it, you're a waste man, whatever, whatever. That pressure, it's not the pressure you need.
Yeah.
You need someone that will build you up. I got a friend of mine in which when she was dating her boyfriend, he never had money, so she would transfer money to his account at the dinner table so he can pay for the meal on his card to not feel less, quote unquote, as a man. Wow. So it's down to the woman as well. If you know you got a woman like that, and yeah, you're going, going for trash. Mm. You ain't got to worry about nothing. 100%. You know that. You know, my girl loves me. We're going to fight through this together.
100%.
But when you have a woman that will say, see you as less, it's like, you can't tell her what. I can't tell her that I'm struggling. I can't tell her that I'm on my last disciplinary at work because of the fear of that. Yeah. But once you're in an environment where we're going to get through this, you ain't got no worries as a man.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, less worries, rather, as a man.
If I look at scripture and, you know, Adam, the first man, was taken into the Garden of Eden, he was told to work on the garden, tend to it. That whole idea of, like, you know, providing, provision, protection, and cultivating, etc. So you're talking a load about character and saying, you know, the externals aren't that important. But biblically, the externals are important. That provision is very important. So how do you uphold that with your walk?
I think your character would always lead you to provide.
Okay.
In which you have many men and women who have, for example, migrated from Africa, who work, who have master degrees, but still work lesser jobs to provide. So you see that example. I feel a man or someone who aspires to be a man will do anything to provide. But the lack of provision doesn't make you not be a man. I'll tell you why. A fisherman will go to sea and cast his net, and he might not reel in any fish that day. Is he unsuccessful? Is he still a fisherman? Yes, he is. He went to get the fish, but he didn't get anything. You can't say he's not a man for doing that. But even again in the Bible, you see when the disciples are fishing every day, they couldn't find any fish. Jesus had cast the net there. Then eventually it was seeping, everything was breaking. So I feel like a man, as we're trying to generalize or explain, will always have that thing in him to provide.
But do you think your standards for what you'd accept would change if you had, like, a daughter? Because I know there are some fathers who are just kind of, who themselves might have come from, like, a poor background, might not have that much. Like, maybe I was a cleaner or something, or just had to do what I need to do to survive. But if their daughter came home and said, oh, well, I've met somebody, he's a cleaner, suddenly all this stuff kind of changes. Like, actually, what do you mean? He needs to have this, he needs to have that, he needs to have that.
I don't know why, but we have this thing that we all think we're supposed to be CEOs. So we all believe that
a lot.
We all believe we all believe that we're the head, not the tail. We're the head and not the tail. I think let's flip it on the head. I don't think the head means you're the CEO. I think it means you're the best at what you do. So your standard makes you the head. I know one guy's been working in my local Tesco for at least 18 years. Pushing trolleys, doing stuff. He's not the CEO, he's not supervisor, he's doing that. And I feel like he's living his best life. He's serving. So I feel like if you're a cleaner and you're earning, I don't know, £1,200 every month, so be it. It's about finding a balance between not being complacent but being happy.
So wait, are you telling me that you would be okay with him saying, nah, I just want to be a cleaner? Like, I'm not actually aspiring to own my own company.
No disrespect to cleaners.
No, yeah, no disrespect to cleaners whatsoever. Like, but don't you think this idea of aspiration is very important? If somebody has been working in Tesco's for 18 years, all respect to him, I completely respect, I agree, he is serving. But should you be at the same place for 18 years?
If he's a cleaner and he's on a £2,000 a month, would I make it any better?
Yes, of course it will make it better. It depends what he's making, but is he making two?
If he was a cleaner in Buckingham Palace for the Queen.
Yeah, if he was earning £5,000 a month, would it make a difference?
I don't want to say I personally am that motivated by money. I'm very motivated by aspiration.
And what does that say? What does that speak to you?
That is a definition of manhood for me. And when I think about manhood biblically as well, I think about how, like, when I actually think about Adam, I feel like him tending to Eden was his purpose. It wasn't like just a job, like, you know, 9 to 5, just making money or whatever. It was genuinely like him walking in his gifting, him walking in what God had created him to do to some extent.
I don't want to think that, oh, it's just character, that's all that can run the world. Like, for women, I know that, you know, security is a massive thing. Can I feel secure with this guy? Can my children be secure with this guy? Can my home be, you know, secure? And I think that's equally important. If your man is earning, you know, if he's a cleaner and he's earning £5,000 a month, that's some good money right there.
That's earning some £5,000 good money. A month.
there's a security that, you know what, the bills are actually paid and there's money left over.
Yeah.
So when we go over, so when we go to Dubai or whatever we do, there's a security that can be taken care of. If a bill comes up, that can be taken care of. So I think sometimes it's, you know, irrespective of the actual job role, what it is I think people are looking really at is, am I safe? Like, am I okay with this person? Like, if my daughter brings a guy home, and knowing me, but just because of how I am, I would be like, okay, you're cleaner, cool. For my daughter to even bring him, there's something there. I want to know about what is this something that she's talking about, because you might just love her to the moon and back and be a cleaner. But is your cleaning taking care of her home?
Mm-hmm.
Is your cleaning making sure she's good and okay? Money is good as well.
Money matters.
It's a safety. It's a safety net. It's freedom, man.
Money is beautiful. Let me not lie.
Give me some.
So let's talk about the new age woman. So obviously, there's a lot of women now that is like, you know, I can do my own thing. You guys have described your ladies. Your ladies are obviously amazing. They're cut above. You obviously prayed hard. You got the good.
Amen,
good.
Man, trust
but
me.
As we know, there's a lot of women out there who are like, I can do it by myself. I've got my car, I've got my house, I've got my this. I'm chilling. Like, I make more than you. All of this, blah blah. How do you feel like that's shaping manhood? How are you seeing that play out in your friends' lives, your brothers' lives, etc.?
Let's get to a stage where we build our male and our females equally to be the best that they can. So my girl doesn't need to rely on her man to provide for her. I think that's the beautiful thing. So that I leave that as that. The negative, though. The downside is that it's possible for a man to see the woman as maybe too forceful, too opinionated, too powerful, in which she's so independent, she doesn't need me to add anything to her. Not that you should try to add to a woman, but there's nothing I can do to compliment her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's a woman that's a CEO or she works in the biggest bank in the world or whatever, and I'm just on, I don't know, $5,000 a month, and she's on maybe 20 or 15 or whatever, but she's great. She doesn't lord it. We just live life. Doesn't mean a thing. So that's the pros and cons of it, because we are the providers.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, you're not the provider, quote unquote. But it's my job to maintain and upkeep the life you already have. Someone might say, well, I have this life, I already maintain it myself. It's not your issue. But from the offset, I can't see that. And every man wants to spoil their woman.
Mm.
So that's the potential issue there.
Because you're talking a lot about provision, for example. Is there any other things that you're like, nah, that makes you a man. That's important.
When we attribute gender to specific actions, that's where it gets a bit shaky. You're not a man if you don't. So it's just difficult. I feel the good within you is what makes you a man or a woman.
What does it do to a man if an argument you hear oftentimes when a woman says, you're not a man? Like, what does it actually do to a man's psyche when he actually hears those
words? I'll let Icy do that. I've heard his lyrics, so I know he knows that kind of vibe. So, yeah.
I guess if you want to really cut a man down, that goes to his core, because he's... Remember what I said? We're weaker than who we're trying to portray. You're not a man. You've seen through it. I'm trying every day. I'm trying to be a man. That's why I wrote that song, The Becoming. Go check it out. Stream it on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying. Like, when my child, I've got a, you know, when there's, we've got to buy an Asda, but then my child says there's a trip to go to, you know, Aspen, and it's £600. My mind's going to start thinking, how can I get £600? Not, you know, we can't go. We're not going. You can't afford that. I'm going to try and figure out how the names I'm going to afford this Aspen trip. So I think with men, words like that, they cut to the core. And to get a man to resurrect from that again, it's going to be difficult, because all will be echoing in his head. I'm not a man. Like, but, and it can put men into a mad complex. I was in a relationship before where the words were the most painful. You can punch me in my face, you can beat on me, but the words, because with men, man, that thing can just it's going through like a machine. You know when a man doesn't talk,
mm-hmm.
and you know women are like, oh, you don't talk, you know, you just seem to go into yourself. Whenever there's a problem, a man will mull, or me, but I will mull over it. I'll be like, okay. Rent this month, all right, so okay, so if talk. No, I can't. I haven't figured it out. I haven't got the solution yet. I haven't figured it out. And that's what, sometimes when men are quiet and in themselves, they go and retreat. In this moment, when I'm trying to figure out, if you just uplift me, if you do the opposite, you're just, it's almost like you're just chopping at his feet and he can't stand, he just can't stand.
So is your manhood still dependent upon your ability to be able to do certain things?
Yes.
So therefore, okay, God forbid, I'm not wishing anything on you, if you were then bedbound and you were therefore unable to do things, would you therefore no longer feel like a man because you're not able to do?
I would still feel like a man because one of my track record, because of my brain. So, yeah.
I hear that. What would you guys say is the worst thing about being a guy? About being a man?
Maybe, as I said, the pressure having to always provide. And even me, when I get my friends something, I cover the bill as well. I don't have to, but I cover the bill. If I know that I'm in a better situation today, mm-hmm, maybe their pay, they might be next week, so at that moment in time, they can't. I would, bro, man, this is on me, man. I am in a place where, even with my friends, if I don't have money, mm-hmm, it's not possible for me to not have money because of my friends. Bro, I need £50. What? Here's 60. So, I am, because of my friendship circle, I'm allowed to be a man.
I hear that. So, how have you built that up, though? Because I imagine for many men, they don't have that. Do you get what I mean? They don't have that community that's telling them that, oh, here's £60 instead of 50 kind of thing. So if you're struggling emotionally, 9 out of 10 guys, correct me if I'm wrong, are going to have to figure out a way to make that work. Financially, you're going to have to figure out a way to make that work. Like, is that your experience as well, IC? Do you have that community that's like, it's calm, like I can just be honest about where I'm at right now?
If you've got an honest relationship with your friends, then it can facilitate that kind of vulnerability at that time. But sometimes it's whether a man can have that and still not go to it,
mm-hmm,
and still think, oh, no, but I've got to figure this out. I again, and it's that invisible pressure over your head. You've got to be the one that does it all, and that links back to mental health. The weight of taking sometimes on so much, but trying to make it look so okay. Because you don't want your wife to worry. If you've got kids, you don't want your kids to worry. You really don't.
Mm.
And so you present Superman when you're Clark Kent, when you're really, really, really are Clark Kent. You also have to step down from the pedestal as a man and accept that I don't always know it all and I can't do it all. So I'm going to go to that safety net. I'm going to go to that. And if that can be your wife, that can be your friend. Sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, you know, your wife should be your best friend. No, how? How is that supposed to be possible?
Wow.
Well, how can your wife? How would your wife be your best friend? You met your wife. You've been married for 3 years. You got your best friend. You've been friends for 19 years. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you've got to put relationships in perspective. Like ideal, that's what everyone puts around. That, yeah, but your wife is in two positions. She's a woman and she's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things you can't tell her because a woman will incubate it. I got to tell it to my guys.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I've got, that's the safety place to put it. It's even though you think that's the place you should go. No, it's not. It will actually do more damage than good. And that sounds crazy. Yeah. I ain't got no secrets out here, but you know what I'm saying? Whoa. But in a male sphere, you might be able to say, you know what, guys, I have £50 left in my account and the rent is £1,200 at the end of the month. Yo, can we do something? If you say that to your spouse, as you know, your wife, she'll be like, oh, don't worry, hon. But in her insides, she'll be going mad. She'll be she'll be like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes if you throw certain things in certain pools, you won't get what you want.
As a woman, I find that slightly terrifying.
Yeah,
that
same.
That the idea that my husband could be carrying that much, use a rent example, but that he's dealing with all of that by himself. Because as his wife, I want to be his teammate. We're in this journey together. Mm-hmm. So if he tells me that, it's let me worry about my emotional reaction to that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm wanting to support. Because I might not necessarily incubate and start panicking.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I might have a word from God for you at that time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like...
And I think if you have that, do you remember what I'm saying? So if he's got that with the guys, but he can have that with you and he knows he can come, it's a guy that doesn't know he can come fully, that will be like, okay, I'm going over to the guys. But I think if you, especially as women, if they can facilitate an environment where a man can be vulnerable, you'll get the best man, because he can come to you with these things and be like, I don't know what the plan is. What do you think? And as a woman, you see things that we don't see. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I've been thinking of it like this. You just do one flip and I'll be like, okay. Oh, cool. Yeah. So women have to, that is what Faith was saying again before, like women have to help as well in that, because we don't know it all.
So. I mean, we keep using money as an example, but I'm imagining there might be other scenarios.
Let me tell you, there's no other bigger scenario than money.
I mean, in terms of the vulnerability factor, in terms of what you might tell your boys and what you might tell your wife. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're a guy in a workplace and there's another man there that makes you feel intimidated, is that something you would tell your wife, or is that something you would tell your boys?
If you've got that relationship with your wife,
it still boils down to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because then I can be like, she'll be like, "What's wrong? It's that guy again." Like I've got one guy at my work. Anyway. anyway. But yeah, if that's there, then you'll be like, she'll know. Very important.
That. I hear that. I feel like you guys are obviously the epitome of a man. Like, you guys are obviously perfection.
Getting gas. It's like getting gas.
I kind of want to get a sense from you for how have you, like, gained that kind of confidence to be vulnerable, to just tell your boys how it is, to tell your woman how it is. Like, what's your source?
I think for me, because my boys come to me, I can therefore go to them. Because they're vulnerable with me, I can be vulnerable with them. We have that platform, opportunity to be vulnerable. We've got a WhatsApp group. Someone say, "Bro, pray for me, man. I'm struggling with lust," or "I'm a married man, but I keep looking at other women. I ain't done anything, but I just keep looking at them." When you have that kind of environment where you can be open and free, and people like Icy, I said off air that he's like a great example of a man for me. Mm-hmm. Someone that's in touch with their emotions, but they're still strong, they still provide. People to see that is great. A time to say, "Oh, boys, don't cry. Even like God in the flesh, Jesus himself cried. Do you know what I mean? He cried knowing he could still raise Lazarus, but he was still showing the emotion. He was still showing the friendship part. Mm-hmm. He didn't allow his God nature to not interact with his human nature.
Yeah, man.
So flip on its head. We shouldn't let our masculine nature not allow us to be emotional. We shouldn't allow logic. They say men are logical, women think emotionally, but we need to have the balance of both.
I think just like what you're saying with Jesus, like he's a general at almost like doing the balancing act, you know, who'd be like, "No, why did you forsake me?" But it's the same God that would praise his father. It's the same Jesus that would praise his father, but he knew how to be comfortable in his vulnerability. He was overlooking the city and crying. "Why are you crying for?" You know what I'm saying? But his heart weeps for them and for the loss. So, you know what I'm saying? If he can give that as an example, and him in all his strength, do you know what I'm saying? The general in all his strength can be so weak. Man, like, you know, in my music especially, I'm always trying to do that, because I know that there's someone that connects with that pain. Do you know what I'm saying? There's somebody that is hurting out there, and always I keep on saying, we present ourselves as strong, we're still trying to stand. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know people connect with that. I know it's real. Like, you see it, unfortunately, when people commit suicide, or who look like everything is perfect. Like, again, when I did the sit down, I did it because I was talking to people that people know these people. Like, I just say their name and you'll know. And they're going through depression. They're going through this. I'm like, but your Instagram looks
lit,
like popping.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And I was like, so then how is it possible that you look strong but inside are so weak? All right, so we need to create avenues that can connect to people, that people can plug into, whether it's your WhatsApp group, whether it's your, you know, your friendship groups, whether it's events, whether it's things like the this podcast. Create avenues for people to gain strength from. In their time of weakness, because everyone gets there. Everyone, man.
I feel like that's an amazing ending. Faith, do you want to hit us with a conclusion? What does it mean to be a man in 2018?
Be a man in 2018 is to be a man that is about it, a man that's on a journey, a man that is trying to be better than he was yesterday for tomorrow.
Smashed it. Killed it. All right, so we're going to go into a little challenge. I thought, why not round it up on a high? So we're going to play rhyme versation. So the aim of the game is that you have to try and have a natural sounding conversation, but the end but the last word of each sentence has to rhyme. Shall I give you a first sentence, or are you guys just going to kick it off? It needs to be in theme.
Give us the word.
Sun.
Is that S-U-N or S-O-N?
Worst what is me. Wrong with
double entendre, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
S-O-N.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like as a man, you should leave a great example for your son.
And I think what you do when you leave that legacy, you're just literally showing them what you've done.
Yeah, so you show a great balance of how you love your sisters and how you love your mum.
And it shows even more where you've come from.
Mm. Now, the thing is, some people might see your masculinity as a financial sum.
And that financial sum is not a true identity or not a true depiction of...
Oh, that's fine.
Your mother's tongue.
Hey!
But for me, true masculinity is what Jesus Christ done.
Yes! You guys did good. You did good.
That's hard, man.
Icy, thank you so much.
No,
you've got your mixtape coming out. When's it coming out?
When it's done.
He's still going to hit us with that answer. Faith, thank you so much. That's another Meet the Millennials done. You can follow us individually at...
At Faith Child.
That's on Instagram, Twitter.
At Faith Child Music. My tweet went viral, got 10,000 retweets. So,
is he?
I'm kind of hot right now. Still. About the Fanta bottles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, at Stargirl Stores and at Esther Jenny as well on Instagram.
Yes, Icy Gone.
At ICIE Music. And if you want to follow The Sit Down, it's at The Sit Down UK.
Yes, and I'm at Elena B91. Thank you, guys. See you again.
This is Meet the Millennials.
What's up, guys? This is your boy, Andre Spence, the Purpose Coach.
What's up, people? This is ICOHA, One Hit Away.
My name's Cecilia Owosa, lifestyle, beauty, and straight talking videos.
I'm Deborah Chosen, and you're now listening to Meet the Millennials, the voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice of the Christian Millennials.